Of the living God, fall afresh on me, melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Can you imagine what it was like to be in that room and all of a sudden the winds blow and the temperature changes and you start understanding each other? It'd be nice to find out what that's like, right? Because here's the truth. We all have our own unique way of communication. Now, we all might think that English is our language, and that should be enough, right? Well, English, number one, isn't all of our languages. And even if it is, most of us can't understand each other's English, really. I mean, think about the last argument you had with someone who was trying to prove their point. They were passionate about what they were telling. Have you gone there yet? Yeah. They were passionate about what they were saying. They knew exactly what they were saying. And they were trying so hard for you to get what they were saying, but you were filtering it through your language system. The Holy Spirit fell upon a community of people who were waiting for something to happen, who grabbed hold of the promise. Jesus said to them, "Wait, and I will send a comforter for you." I love the image rich description of what the people outside the room experienced. Well, they must be drunk. Have you ever seen somebody so happy with life that you wonder what they're on? Because it can't possibly just be their system, their mind, their joy. Have you ever been that person someone questioned? Ouch. Here's this community waiting in anticipation for God to move into them, and the Holy Spirit comes and floods them, and they begin to understand in a new way. What does this have to do with us? This community, because we never have problems with communication. We all understand each other perfectly here, right? Hello. We have been gifted, blessed, passed down. Now, our Holy Spirit might be a hand-me-down from the generation before us, but it's still the Holy Spirit in us, afresh and anew, moving through us, inviting us to a new opportunity. But my friends, I think we exercise it in a different way. If it comes to us afresh and anew, it's going to come out of us afresh and anew, right? And I started thinking about what that means for us, MCC Tampa. How is it that we actually witness the moving of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, in our lives? Teresa of Avila, a 16th century mystic, reformer, writer, and nun, born in Spain with a fire in her spirit, moved into service at the age of 18, writes this: Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which Christ looks with compassion on this world. Yours are the feet which Christ walks to do good. Yours are the hands which Christ blesses the world with. Yours are the hands. Look at your hands. No, really, look at your hands. I know it's a little uncomfortable when I ask you to step out your comfort zone and actually get engaged with me, but look at your hands. Look at your neighbor's hands. Now, we might just see hands here, but if we began to see our hands as the hands of love, the hands of service, the hands of new life, the hands of Christ, would the world be a different place as we touch the world? What would we see if we see the world through Christ's eyes? If we see the world through love's eyes. I know I'm getting a little bit on the edge of discomfort there because, well, let's just say that love is a challenge. Love is subjective. Love is fashioned, informed by our social location, by our culture, by our family systems. Anybody here raised in a dysfunctional family? Be careful if your parents are in the room. Most of us have our hands up. If that's the case, what are we bringing to the world we touch? Well, it might be, unless we're really intentional, that there is a power greater than that which fashioned and formed us in our rearing and fashioned and formed us spiritually and sends us out. You are the hands. You are the feet. You are the eyes. You are the body of this great love. Christ has no body but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Sometimes we think that there's this presence of God outside of us that is just going to automatically make it better. Anybody bought a lottery ticket last night? Did you pray? Do you know there was millions of people saying that same prayer? Last night was probably one of the most spiritual nights on the planet. And there's probably millions of people mad at God this morning because God didn't come through. Did anybody here win? Because I need to know that. Gail? Nancy? Oh. Because that would have been a sweet tithe, amen. You know, over our history, the history of MCC, a history that started out of a longing for a community of people to have worship in a way in which they were denied, started church, started a revolution, didn't mean to. It just happened because there were more people hungry and more people hungry. And I want to tell you something. While we might have been here for 43 years, there are people who don't know that there is a place where they can come just as they are and be fully welcomed. Gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer, questioning, straight alliance, and anybody else on the margins of the dominant privilege of the moment. We are a church that welcomes. But let me tell you something, that's not just about in this space. I thought about how we are church, how the metropolitan community churches are church globally and locally. A week or so ago, I got, anybody read the New York Times? You're missing out. There was an article in the New York Times about a minister, Reverend Thomas Ogletree, 79, retired seminary president and professor of ethics emeritus at Yale Divinity School, a veteran of civil rights and a longtime member of the United Methodist tradition, who is being brought up on ecclesiastical charges because he officiated his son and his son's partner's Holy Union. In the early days of MCC, we had to fight our way to get here. Then we hit the AIDS crisis, and we needed each other in the most profound ways. Through the gift of science and the hard work that went into that and all of the justice work we did around needing dollars for research, we've moved on to some degree around this battle our church faced, our church held, our church mourned, our church lost. And then we got to a place where we said, we don't need to do any more justice work. I'm tired of hearing about gay issues. I'm tired about being in the news. Let's just go on with our lives. My friends, this work we have been called by God to do. And until this work is over, we're not done. And if you want to know about the movement of the Holy Spirit, Reverend Thomas Ogletree was comforted by the ways in which the Holy Spirit has moved through our work in a denomination where there is work yet to be done. Where couples, by ecclesiastical law, by a law that says homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching. I don't know that Christianity. I do not know that exclusion. I know the welcoming presence of God's unconditional love that blesses love and blesses people. And that is our work. You wonder what MCC Tampa and what MCCs around the globe do? We make space for the Holy Spirit to move in and through us, to touch and comfort hearts and lives who do not know the privilege of God's love and worship. We know God has no hands but your hands, no eyes but your eyes, no feet but your eyes, no heart but your heart. I've thought about the ways in which the Holy Spirit has fallen afresh on hearts and lives in the life of this church. I remember a few years ago, we had a family come to us who was in a domestic violence shelter, who had been abused by a partner in that couple. And the mom and her children went to the shelter, and then they came here and they found shelter from us and love from us. And we helped her raise her children. And they are now, all of them, in college. And if you wonder how God moves in this place, how the Holy Spirit is fresh in this place, know that we are changing hearts and lives. I thought about how the movement of the Holy Spirit helps us clothe people. We had some grandparents who were in a desperate situation whose children got plopped in their home at 10 o'clock at night and had to go to school on Monday morning, and how this congregation came together and provided resources for those children to go to school with dignity. When you wonder, what are we doing as a church? You got to know this. You're not seeing all of it. You can't see all of it. None of us can see all of it. God has called us together to be a conduit for the Holy Spirit. I've thought about the ways in which the Holy Spirit moves through us in the form of dignity. How several years ago we had a partnership with the Hillsborough Sheriff's Department and the Hillsborough Foster Care System and Social Service System, how we collected almost 300 pieces of gently used or new luggage that we could give to the social workers in Hillsborough County. So when they come and remove children from a desperate and violent situation, the children can be moved with dignity. None of us travel with our clothes in garbage bags. And neither should our children. I thought about the ways in which the Holy Spirit moves through our church when you're at the grocery store. You might not think about the Holy Spirit in the pasta aisle, but I can tell you on Wednesdays, when people come to our doors wanting to know, do you offer food here? Because we're hungry. All we have to do is say, how many in your family and do you have any babies? So we know what kind of food to go to. Are you homeless or do you have kitchen supplies? Can you cook? that tells us what kind of food to offer. The Holy Spirit falls afresh on this church every Wednesday when those doors are knocked upon, and we can bring them bags of food for a couple of meals. And unless you're here, you might not remember that. You might not remember that hearts and lives come here hungry, not just for food, but for spiritual nourishment. The Holy Spirit fell afresh on this community because they couldn't understand each other, and if we can't understand each other, we can't together articulate our mission. We cannot claim our birthright if we don't even realize God's love for us and God's desire to be in community with us and in communion with us. It is not enough to just have knowledge from Sunday school. We must find a way to grow our hearts and our lives in a foundation of spirituality. However you do that, how many of you only eat one meal a week? No one. Sunday morning worship is not going to sustain you for the whole week. It might get you through lunch. It might even get you through the day, but it's not enough to sustain you. You have to do some work yourself. There is nothing like growing in wisdom when you put yourself right out there in service. To serve someone with no strings attached. Because, my friends, that's when we're sharing God's love. That's when the Holy Spirit has space for us to be a conduit to move through us. For the Spirit of the living God to fall afresh on us. Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks and praise for the mystery of your presence in our lives. May we continue to anticipate your presence. And may the Holy Spirit continue to open us up so that we can fully be ready to learn how to communicate with each other as we continue to do this work you have called us to. In Christ's name.
prepare our hearts and minds to receive the gift that is offered at this